generally speaking, there is no national dialogue about infrastructure. There are some people who discuss it, but not we'd call anything robust. And even more so in both the minority population, civil rights organizations, educational organizations, about the impact of how we're going to invest and the ways we're going to invest and who's going to be included.
Well, I agree with you that we're not having a national dialogue. Well, I guess what I would say is we're not having the national dialogue we should have. I think we actually are having a national dialogue, but it's a veiled dialogue on infrastructure because essentially it's a dialogue about not investing in it, either because it's the deficit questions, because of the questions about what should be privatized and what should be in the realm of private sector. And so the truth is our conversations all touch on infrastructure all the time, but we're not consciously thinking about it in that way. And, you know, infrastructure is tough because people are much more likely to respond to things that are emotional issues for them. And infrastructure is hard to be very emotional about. So, for instance, it's easier to talk about healthcare reform because you can talk about whether people are able to see their doctor or not. And even though healthcare includes infrastructure issues, we're not really talking about it as infrastructure. We're talking about it as, you know, the emotional piece of what people get from it. And I think when we think and talk about transportation or broadband or, you know, other forms of infrastructure, we're talking about it in a way that doesn't talk about it connected to people's lives, and also, you know, in a context in which it's charged in this debate about the role of government and the importance of the deficit. So I actually think we're talking about it quite a lot and don't realize we're talking about it quite often in the public discourse. And so we have a bad conversation about it. And I also think those of us who want to talk about it probably really need to deeply rethink how we talk about it.
It would be my view, and I think that there are others who would, who are much more learned and have a better sort of backing to have a view on this, that in fact infrastructure is very much also a civil rights issue, that there are implications here for civil rights issues. What do you say to that?
Oh, sure, of course. But I think that's not... I think that part of what is happening that people are not necessarily thinking of consciously, and I actually talked to someone who does some communications testing about this, is, you know, when you start talking about transportation as a racial justice or civil rights issue, people do understand it as, are those people going to be able to get to my community? Because I don't really want that. and that happens at a very subconscious level, not necessarily even at a conscious level, but makes it very hard to talk about investments in public transit that connects people in inner cities to jobs in the suburbs. You know, I think the other thing is that when you think about some of the aspects of this that are civil rights issues, like I'm using transportation a lot because I think it's one we see a lot in the public dialogue in some form or another. That people, we are a car culture, and so it's also hard for people to grapple with just how bread and butter it is for so many people, and how many people really are disconnected from opportunities as a result of it. So there's a level of not really getting or understanding the level of impact that it has in people's lives. So I think it absolutely is a civil rights issue. It's fundamental to transforming opportunity for communities of color in particular. And, of course, it would have benefits for the nation as a whole. And I think we have to grapple with the very hard reality that of what transportation sometimes represents to people, and therefore, even as a civil rights issue, they oppose it.
There are some who would say that the investment that is likely to be made in infrastructure in the next legislation that is passed, whenever it's passed, may be the most significant job creation opportunity of this generation. And just as we've had in other times, other post-war programs, et cetera, it has the potential to transform millions of lives by creating good quality jobs, job training, and especially in communities where the lower level of education, underemployment or unemployment is a big issue. And therefore, what this represents is a next great opportunity for America to do something that will positively or potentially positively impact those Americans who most need it now, especially with this economy. And if we don't do the right thing, we will have lost a terrible, terrible opportunity.
Well, I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, fundamentally, it's two things. I mean, we have a crumbling infrastructure. I mean, and as you pointed out, the infrastructure, when we talk about roads, subways, buses, when we talk about broadband and Wi-Fi access, when we talk about school buildings and water and sewer lines and, you know, all these things that are what we are talking about when we call infrastructure, we are talking about things that fundamentally shape whether we're building prosperity or whether we're undermining it. And if we are to, particularly at a time when prosperity building is job critical, you know, when we have far too many people without jobs, when we have to figure out how to not just compete globally, but to really build a sustainable economy in which we can all participate, and frankly, a sustainable environment in which we can all live, which is also what we're talking about with infrastructure, and healthy lives and healthy people, we have to invest in infrastructure, you know, and I think it's so fundamental and it's so foundational to actually solving so many of the problems we have, both for people who, like communities of color, who have been fundamentally lacking in the investments to produce this kind of infrastructure over time. But in the long run, because it's going to be the majority of the country, we're actually saying we're not going to invest in the majority of the country. I mean, imagine a scenario in which we actually said, yeah, 55% of the country, you know, we're not going to go there. I mean, so that's really untenable, right, for the future of any democracy.
What's at stake here really does warrant the attention of a broader section of Americans that are currently engaged, don't you think?
Yes. So if blacks and Latinos are six times more dependent on public transit than are people who are white. And of course, if you did rural-urban analysis, you would obviously have huge transportation issues in rural communities of all races, Native American as well. When you start talking about then the demographics of the country, which is that by 2032, the majority of the people under the age of 34 in this country will not be white. And when you couple that with unemployment rates in this country, which despite the fact that we hover around 8 to 9% in this bad economy in communities of color and particularly for young people of color can be as high as 50%. And when you start to recognize that the jobs are not in those communities, that the infrastructure like transit is not there, and that, you know, for an economy you require transit and various forms of transportation in order to have trade, to move goods, to have jobs, to help people get to jobs, to create jobs, then again, you have to think about how fundamentally important it is for the country to think about the vast majority of people for whom we have never made these types of transportation investments. And, you know, the additional piece, I think, you know, that we talk about, but even less so, if we're talking about climate change, and we're talking about the need to control greenhouse gas emissions for our children and our children's children, we can't get there if we don't invest in the capacity for a majority of people in the country to reduce their carbon emissions, which is essentially what we're doing when we avoid transportation investments, transit investments in communities of color.